America's geographic middle was once an ocean of grass, waved by the wind from horizon to horizon. That ocean supported buffalo and eagles, rabbits and reptiles, one of the most vast and unusual habitats on Earth.
Oh, it was green, level, and pretty, and the grass was beautiful. We had tall grass, and I remember running barefooted along in this ditch, which was big clods of cool, damp ground.
Then European settlers like Imogene Glover there came in the 1920s and dreamed of cattle herds and wheat fields from horizon to horizon. They plowed up the grass and made farms and ranches on a scale equally vast and unusual in human history. And the earth struck back with a wall of dust and dirt fueled by drought and the once benign winds, and the Dust Bowl, as it was called, devastated the plains and displaced more than 2 million people. The people who witnessed this environmental catastrophe are passing on now, but their still living history is the subject of the new Ken Burns documentary, The Dust Bowl. Burns says the living witnesses are a national treasure who remind us of the awful power of nature.
You know, this film is filled with folks in their late 80s and early 90s, and it is our habit, particularly in our media culture, to see them as some sort of fading dinosaurs. But in fact, if you look through that, you realize that you're looking at children and teenagers who are the last living witnesses, the last living survivors to the worst man-made ecological disaster in American history, the Dust Bowl.
We associate your film so much with the exploration of artifacts, but you actually met these people. Here's a clip from the Dust Bowl. It's Pauline Robertson and Floyd Cohen. Let's hear their voices.
It would blister your face. It would put your eyes out.
As far as you could see, there was a dust storm coming right towards you. This giant wall just coming towards you. And you still had the feeling that something was going to run over you and just crush you.
Ken Burns, I was struck by hearing the voices of these people at the end of their lives, remembering these childhood memories that are so vivid for them because they're pulling from their childhood.
Yes, and later on in the film, both of them sitting side by side in the interview break down and cry over the death from dust pneumonia of a little tiny sister, Rena Marie, who never made it past about 2 years old. I don't think they knew at the beginning of their attempt to answer a question about her that they would both be in tears at the end of it. And when I went back to the Dust Bowl by myself for a few days, I wandered around and found her grave in Rolla, Kansas, in Morton County. And later on, when we arrived in Oklahoma several months later to sort of collect as many of the survivors as possible, and we're losing many of them, I took Floyd and Dale back to Rena Marie's grave, and we all had another cry about it. And you realized, as Faulkner said, that history is not was, but is.
And it's such a heartbreak to hear those stories. And then, you know, the frame of all of this, those personal stories and these people whose living history is slipping away from us now, teach us a lesson about financial bubbles, experiences that we're having right now, and environmental catastrophe, man-made environmental catastrophe. Describe the scale of this bubble and the catastrophe that it in part wrought.
The reason why we say man-made is because the southern plains were covered with grasses for millennia, and they had evolved over an even longer period of time to hold the semi-arid, near-desert conditions of the southern plains, to hold the dirt down and to trap as much moisture as they can. But during a relatively wet period, when we had encouraged homesteading, when real estate speculators came in, and at the same time, agriculture turned into a kind of industrial model, we plowed up, turned over for the first time, and as the ranchers and Native Americans warned, wrong side up, we turned over an area, tens of millions of acres, larger than the state of Ohio, in this area once called no man's land, because the original European explorers said that this is a land wholly uninhabitable for a people dependent upon agriculture. But we turned over this, put it into wheat production, had some good years, planted more because of those good years, had some bad years, planted more because of those bad years, and then found ourselves in the middle of a drought that afflicted 46 of the 48 states, but no worse than centered there in the southern plains around the panhandle of Oklahoma and Texas and bits of Kansas, Colorado, and New Mexico. That became the geographical heart of the Dust Bowl. And the winds, which are perpetual, blew that topsoil. There was one storm that dumped inches in Chicago and Detroit, darkened the skies in New York. Franklin Roosevelt could wipe his finger on his desk in the Oval Office and come up with Oklahoma, and the next day ships out at sea were covered with a patina of dirt. One storm out of hundreds in one 24-hour period moved more dirt than in the 10 years it took the United States to excavate the Panama Canal.
Wow.
So you're talking about a gigantic aerial man-made ecological disaster, the worst in our history so far, that has resonance with today as we grapple with climate change and we watch storms in the Atlantic intensify into the kind of superstorm that Sandy was, or see the drought that's afflicted the Central Plains once again as farm families are struggling once again, and knowing that some of the things we've done to mitigate the original Dust Bowl by sending a million straws in the Ogallala Aquifer is only a temporary stopgap measure. And when it's dry, the life of the plains might actually disappear, full stop, period.
And here's another one of the characters that we've lost, Wayne Lewis, who died this year, I believe, from your film The Dust Bowl. In remembering those good times that preceded the Dust Bowl itself, really carries in his voice precisely those lessons of man overreaching. Listen.
We made so much money at raising wheat in the late 20s that we broke everything out to raise more wheat. And then the climate changed, the depression came along, and the wheat wasn't worth much, but we still had the land broken out. We were just too selfish, and we were trying to make money and get rich quick off of the wheat, and it didn't work out.
So there's a guy who's speaking an environmental message, but he's not an environmentalist, and yet he's lived among us.
These are people who had firsthand knowledge of it, who understood in their bones because they'd tilled that soil, they'd put in the hard work, they'd reaped the harvest, and they'd also reaped the bitter harvest of the death of loved ones from the dust pneumonia, the ruination of their farms, the repossession of their equipment. And so they speak volumes. You know, when you've got human nature, which is filled with that greed that Wayne Lewis is talking about, as well as the generosity, it is no match for Mother Nature. And it's interesting that our story, one of the few agencies that's able in the larger scheme of things to at least try to make a difference, is the United States government in the midst of the Great Depression. It's their programs that begin to set the Dust Bowl right, desperately trying, as a Franklin Roosevelt did not want to lose on his watch, a whole section of the country depopulating. This is a country founded on manifest destiny. We're about taking over places and settling it, not about abandoning places. They worked so hard to mitigate the effects of the drought and did a pretty good job. As you go there, they're still farming. And as long as the Ogallala is providing them a little bit of buffer against those dry times of which we're experiencing now, we're okay. But the Cassandras say there's 5 or 10 or maybe 20 years left. The Pollyannas say 50 years. But that means in the lifetime of my children or grandchildren, that place is in big trouble.
Ken Burns, producer and director of The Dust Bowl. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported in part this week by PBS, who produced The Dust Bowl, which starts airing on Sunday at 8, 7 Central on your local PBS station. Go to our website. You can see a trailer of the film, plus an incredible slideshow of photographs from the Dust Bowl pulled from the Library of Congress, all at thetakeaway.org. Goodbye from South Florida here at WLRN. I'm going to take a little time off for Thanksgiving week next week. You'll be listening to Todd Zwillick. I'm John Hockenberry from Miami. This is The Takeaway.